Matthew 26, we're up to verse 31. And we're reading to verse 35. Matthew 26, verses 31 to 35. The Lord Jesus has clearly outlined what would happen through Judas. Judas who would betray him. And he is now going to speak about the disciples as a whole. And we're going to find that the disciples as a whole, and then Peter, are mentioned in this passage. And this is the pattern for what happens on the way to the cross. First Judas, then the 12, and Peter specifically, forsake the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ goes to the cross. But he is a shepherd. And what Jesus outlines in this passage is the restoration and the gathering of people who do that to him. Not Judas, but the others. And so we need to learn about the shepherding care of the Lord Jesus Christ. How it is accomplished. This is the word of God. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. The precious word of the living and the true God. It's an amazing thing to consider what happens in this passage. It's an amazing thing to consider because it's the time in which the Lord Jesus Christ has just spoken of Judas betraying him. And we tend to focus on Judas, and we learned last time that it's important to focus on how the Lord Jesus Christ instituted the supper. That he instituted the supper in the midst of betrayal. But it's not only Judas, you see. That's the amazing thing about the pathway of the Lord Jesus Christ in going to the cross. Judas betrays the Lord Jesus Christ and continues on that path permanently. But others forsake the Lord Jesus Christ and are restored. What makes the difference? Jesus says unto his disciples, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. All, he says. All of them. All of the 12. Are going to be offended because of him. Now the word offended is a word from which we get the word scandal or scandalize. It's a word that has appeared before in the Gospel of Matthew. It's appeared in chapter 11 and verse 6 when the Lord Jesus was talking to John the Baptist in prison. And he was talking to him about the way that the kingdom was coming. And John the Baptist had different expectations. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to those who would go back to speak to John the Baptist, blessed are those, as he says in chapter 11, verse 6, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. It's the same kind of word. It's the idea that the expectations that you have of the arrival of the kingdom are being dashed. And you need to focus your attention upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And see how the kingdom is being realized. See the fulfillment of the prophetic word in the actions of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist himself needed to have that message communicated to him. And then Jesus goes on. He speaks about offenses in chapter 18. And he's speaking about becoming like a little child and entering into the kingdom of heaven. And then he says this. Whoso shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe unto that man by whom the offense cometh. The Lord Jesus Christ talks about those who impact other people in a way that causes them to fall away. And what the Lord Jesus Christ is getting at here, when he's speaking to his disciples about being offended, he's speaking about their expectations of the kingdom being dashed. He's speaking about not only the fact that they were concerned about their physical safety, but that they didn't understand the purpose of Jesus coming as the Messiah. They didn't understand why he came. He had been teaching them again and again and again, but they did not get it. Their expectations were about to be dashed. And they were going to flee. They were going to fall away. They were going to stumble. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who was able to gather people who stumble like that. But the Lord Jesus Christ is not just simply talking about the way that the disciples weren't ready for this time. It is Satan's hour we read about in the Gospel of John. It is the hour in which darkness prevails, and the disciples are not ready. They're not ready in the garden. They can't persevere in prayer. They're not ready spiritually for this moment. But Jesus is not only talking about that. He's talking about a pattern that has been outlined already in the prophetic word in the book of Zechariah. And when Jesus uses this quote from Zechariah 13 and verse 7, he's quoting from a section that we need to understand reveals the pattern that leads the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross and that explains the scattering of the disciples. Prophesied long ago in Holy Scripture, this is the pattern. And the Lord Jesus Christ makes it clear. He quotes from Zechariah 13 and verse 7. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. How could it be that the Word of God is saying that the shepherd is going to be smitten? Well, we find out that that's exactly what happens in Zechariah 9 to 14, especially in chapter 13, in verse 7, that the Lord Jesus Christ quoted. God is bringing a sword against the shepherd, against the one who rules the people of God, and they are going to be scattered. The people of God are going to apostatize. They're going to fall away. And yet, in a few verses, we find out that a third of them are restored. A third of them come back. That's the pattern that Jesus is talking about. It's the pattern of the shepherd being struck and the nation scattering. And the disciples are going to fulfill this pattern. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself is going to fulfill this pattern. Because this is what it said about him in Isaiah 53. That he was going to be the one who was bruised. He is going to be the one who was struck. He is going to be the one who was smitten. The Lord Jesus Christ is the shepherd who's going to be struck. And the disciples don't understand the word of God. They don't understand the pattern of the scriptures. They don't understand the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ himself because they're not spiritually ready for it. They're not ready for this moment. So the Lord Jesus Christ is going to go to the cross as an army of one. His disciples are going to scatter. The teachers of the law are going to turn him over to the Romans. The Romans are going to wash their hands of it. They're going to call for Barabbas. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be mistreated by Roman soldiers as any state criminal would be. He's going to go to the cross. The shepherd is going to be smitten. But what's going to happen to the disciples? Well, surely they've been with Jesus Christ all along. He said that he was going to die in Jerusalem. He said it clearly they're going to be offended. They're going to stumble. They're going to fall. Their expectations are going to be dashed. And Jesus says, this is the fulfillment of Scripture. This is the fulfillment of the pattern that was given in the Word of God. This is what is to happen. There is the smiting of the shepherd. There is the scattering of the people. And then they are gathered. A remnant of them are gathered. That is the pattern that Jesus Christ is fulfilling. And then Jesus Christ does something amazing. He's on his way to the cross. But in verse 32, he speaks about after his resurrection. You see, Jesus Christ is going to the cross. He's going to be under the wrath of God. He's being betrayed by Judas. He's going to be forsaken by... the disciples are going to forsake him. He's going to be mistreated by his own people. Satan is thinking he has him. The Father is pouring out his wrath. He feels abandoned. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But it was all for the sake of his resurrection life. Jesus Christ talks about it in practical terms. I know where you're going to go after you scatter. You're going to go back home. You're going to go like puppies that have their tails between their legs, defeated. I didn't realize that the Messiah going into Jerusalem was going to end up in defeat. It's all over. I had such great hopes, such great expectations. I know where you're going. You're going back home. You're going back to Galilee. Jesus says, I'm going to be there ahead of you. He's going back to where he started. He's going back to where things began. If we remember the Gospel of Matthew, how it unpacked it for us in chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, speaking about the fulfillment of what was spoken in Isaiah, or Isaiah the prophet, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee, of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region in the shadow of death, light is sprung up. That place, Galilee of the Gentiles, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to start after his resurrection with his disciples in Galilee. So he is fulfilling prophecy. The prophetic word speaks of him. He is the subject of prophecy. He is the one who's going to be smitten. He is the one who's going to be struck. And the sheep are going to scatter. And the disciples are going to reflect the nation. But it's all for the purpose of regathering them under new terms through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The disciples will be gathered again and they will be established on a new level. They will be given the opportunity to be eyewitnesses of the risen Christ. They will see him ascend. They will have the Holy Spirit poured out. They will begin to turn the world upside down. They will be bold. They will never again back down. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because he gathers them. This is what is planned by the Father. This is the work of the Son. The Lord Jesus Christ was always on this path. And even though he goes like an army of one to the cross, his disciples scattering, it is the fulfillment of the Word of God. It is the means by which the shepherd works. You strike the shepherd, and he will be raised. And he will gather his lambs. And they will be stronger than before because the risen shepherd is with them. That is the work of Jesus Christ. Peter's still focused on the loyalty issue. You said that I am going to be offended because of you. I am not that kind of person. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. You can see where Peter's eyes are focused. They might be those who would abandon you. Those fishermen. Those people that you call your disciples, but not me. And we have to realize that Peter has actually come a little ways in his understanding since the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him in Matthew 16. When the Lord Jesus Christ revealed that he was going to the cross, Peter tried to say that would never happen to him. But now Peter has come along a little bit in his understanding. He understands that something big is going to happen. And he understands that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about his disciples being disloyal. And he wants to assure the Lord Jesus Christ that he will never be disloyal to him. I will never abandon you. But something bigger is happening than Peter understands. Something bigger is happening than the disciples understand. This is the fulfillment of a pattern that is outlined in the book of Zechariah. This is the smiting of the shepherd and the scattering of the sheep, and then they're going to be regathered. That's the pattern that's there in Zechariah 13. And that's the pattern that Jesus has outlined. That's the pattern. And Peter is only focused upon the question of whether he's loyal. So he ends up relying upon his own ability to be loyal. He takes his eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's so focused on the question of loyalty, and he can't take in everything that Jesus Christ has just said. He just said he's going to be raised from the dead, and he's going to go to Galilee and meet his disciples again. He just said that. But Peter loses all of that. You think there's a big conflict coming? That I'm going to be disloyal to you? I want you to understand, I will never back down. I am on your side, Jesus. And Jesus knows how Peter is going to be disloyal to him. He tells us in the Gospel of Luke that he has already prayed for Peter, that he would be restored after Satan tries to sift him. He tells us that he was praying against the work of Satan in Peter's life. But the Lord Jesus Christ knows Peter is going to be disloyal to him. He knows that he's going to deny him. But he also knows that he's going to restore him. So what he gives to Peter is what Peter needs this time. Peter's mind is so full of the question of whether he's going to be loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ that he can't take in the magnitude of what Jesus has said. So Jesus gives him a signal. There was an experiment years ago where a man named Pavlov tried to show that you could reinforce behavior in dogs. And so he got them to the point where whenever they heard the sound of a bell, they began to salivate. Because he fed them immediately, and as soon as they heard the sound of the bell, they began to salivate. And he showed that you can reinforce a behavior in these animals, and that by the sound of a bell, they will begin to show signs of hunger. Because they're so accustomed to that bell being associated with their food. And what the Lord Jesus Christ gives to Peter here, he gives him a sound that is going to wake him out of his spiritual slumber, a sound that is going to cause him to realize that what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to him is absolutely true, a sound that is going to bring about an awareness, a conviction of his sin that will cause Peter to weep bitterly. Where he, now he's brave, or he seems to be brave. He thinks that there's a battle going on. He thinks that he's going to be the one who's going to defend the Lord Jesus Christ to the death. But he's not ready for what looks like defeat. He's not ready for what looks like everything going backwards. He's not ready for the pattern that was described in Zechariah 13 and verse 7 that the Lord Jesus Christ has given. He's not ready for this because he doesn't understand the way that the shepherd is going to bring his sheep into a place of security. He's doing it through the sacrifice of himself. And Peter didn't understand that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to sacrifice himself. That he was going to be viewed as a curse. That he was going to be rejected and despised. That he was going to be stricken, afflicted, bruised. That he was going to pour out his soul as an offering for sin. Peter didn't realize that the Lord Jesus Christ was destined for the cross. He still thought, this is part of the taking of Jerusalem or something. He needs defending. He's going to have enemies there. Jerusalem, I understand that. I know how to deal with enemies, but I'm on your side. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, listen to me. Verily, I'm telling you the truth, Peter. Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Three times. They measured time in the ancient Near East by the time that the rooster crowed at 1:30 in the morning. That was the one that was the standard for the other measurements of time. And Peter is being told that that sound of the rooster crowing, the sound of the cock crowing, is going to be the indication that he has already denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. So he gives Peter this signal. He gives him the sounding of the bell. He gives him the sound of the alarm that wakes him up out of his spiritual lethargy, out of his focus on whether he's loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. When his expectations are dashed, and when people begin to associate him with the Lord Jesus Christ, when he begins to see that things are going differently than he had thought, all of his claims for loyalty go out the window. And Peter's still not ready. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And Peter is a representative of the disciples. He's the one who's the leader. And so all of the other disciples say the same thing. Well, Peter's saying he's loyal. I'll die before I deny you too, Jesus. Jesus has just outlined the pattern in Zechariah 13, verse 7. As made it spectacularly clear, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. You're all going to forsake me, fall away. You're all going to have your expectations dashed, and you're going to stumble. You're going to fall. You're going to deny me. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. And Jesus Christ is referring to the pattern that is there in Zechariah 13. And after the scattering is a regathering. And he describes that in verse 32. He's already told his disciples what's going to happen. I'm going to be raised from the dead and I'm going to meet you in Galilee. And then things are going to take off. But the disciples aren't ready for any of that. They're still focused on what Peter's focused on. The question of their loyalty to Jesus Christ. We need to understand, brothers and sisters, is that if you base your eternal salvation on your willingness to be loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ, you placed your attention in the wrong place. You need to know that He is your shepherd. You need to know that He was destined, prophesied by the Father's will, by His own willingness. The purpose of His work was to go to the cross to be the once for all sacrifice for sinners. And the Lord Jesus Christ would be raised from the dead. And from that place, He would shepherd His people. He would shepherd His people on the basis of His resurrection life. Your hope, your confidence is not on your ability to hang close to Jesus Christ. It's on the fact that He was raised from the dead to be your shepherd. Your confidence, your attention needs to be placed on Him. Placed in Him. And that's why the Bible gives us these examples like what we just read in 1 Peter chapter 2. Amazing. The words of the Apostle Peter. After he's restored, after he's placed in a position where he has the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that he understands things on a higher level, he writes this. That you were called to continue to do well even when you suffer for it. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. This is coming from Peter by means of the Holy Spirit, as he understands the work of Jesus Christ. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, including the sin of every disciple. Hearing those words, who denied him. That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. What 1 Peter 2:25 says is a general statement. This is what you were like sheep going astray. Well, I look at such and such a person, and they seem like they just never really get it. I'm glad that I'm not like that. And 1 Peter 2:25 says, ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls, Jesus Christ. So every time that we're tempted to focus upon ourselves and focus upon those things that we think are keeping us loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, those things that you compliment yourself on, think of Peter. He was so sure that he was going to defend the Lord Jesus Christ to the death. And he denied him three times that very night. Your attention needs to be focused on Jesus Christ. If you're going to persevere, if you're going to be shepherded, you need to look at the shepherd. Hebrews 12 puts it this way, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Your attention needs to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because frankly, he went to the cross by himself. He went to the cross as an army of one. He had the Spirit. The Father continued to love him even when he was pouring out his wrath on him. But he was taking our place. He was receiving the penalty that was due to us. This is how you are brought in to the fold. As the sheep that can be confident in an everlasting way. This image of the shepherd, it appears again and again and again. In just one more place as we close. Just think about this as you are led, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. Listen to what happens. In the place where you are being gathered, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, They are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. The people who serve our great God in that way have their eyes focused upon the shepherd, the risen shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who will appear with his people and shepherd them forever. The one who will be there in the midst of the throne is the one that you need to pay attention to.